You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
I am not afraid to admit I am a bad mom. I work hard. I'm the owner of Dalen's Daycare LLC, The Office L3C, Posh Plannings LLC, and a few other successful ventures. I'm what you call a serial entrepreneur, but my first job will always be being the mother of my three, Madison, Dalen, and Davin. Sleepless nights, blood, sweat, and tears just to ensure their everyday happiness and secure future. I like to curse, and I love to twerk, even though I can't. A glass of wine is usually a part of my day, and sometimes I hide out in the tub for hours just to get a peace of mind. I'm a mom, just like you, and real moms know it's nothing glamorous about it. Being a mom is my first job and by far the hardest, yet the most rewarding. I'm just here to talk about it. Welcome to the Bad Moms Club. I am your host, of course, Miss Lavonda Dukes. And of course, my beautiful, wonderful, special, wonderful, beautiful assistant, Tanisha. For those of you who don't know me and who are not familiar with me and it's your first time watching, let me introduce myself. I am the owner of Dalen's Daycare and also Kitty City Daycare and Playhouse. I am also the owner of The Office L3C, Madison Management, and Posh Plannings LLC. Pretty busy, huh? I have not one, not two, but three bad kids, Madison, Dalen, and of course, Mr. Davin. And I am a bad mom. And if you want to know what the Bad Moms Club is, this is a place where we discuss real mom issues amongst real moms. So today, our topic is going to be parent involvement. I personally feel like this was an excellent topic, especially around Christmas time, because I feel like this is a time of year where we get off track, we get busy with Christmas, we get busy with work and, you know, other things that get us off track during this season. But the parent involvement, especially at school, is so important. This is not only one of the critical card marking times, especially if you have a middle schooler or a high schooler, but it's also a time of the year where your child may be experiencing some emotional difficulties. They may have lost a loved one, different issues at school, and the parent involvement needs to be upped during this time as well, at least I believe. So to help us discuss this topic, we have some very, very, very special people in the studio today.
Wonderful people.
Yes, one of my favorite people. So I'm going to tell you a little background on each person before I introduce them. So this young man, we're going to say young man because he's a young man. this particular school year, I decided to take my children out of their school and put them in a different school district. So I went up to their old school to get their report card and I met him. And he said, hey, you know, I'm the new principal this year. You know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. You know, you shouldn't take him out. And I was like, yeah, okay, go ahead and hand me this report card. But I continued to have a conversation with him, and it wasn't even so much the content of what he was saying, it's his personality that really drew me in. He's a genuine person, absolutely love kids. And what got me was he had on a bracelet. And he said, you know what this bracelet says? And I said, no. And it had something on it. And he said, these are the coordinates to this building. And I said, the coordinates? Well, you have a bracelet with the coordinates to this building on it. He said, I taught here about 6 years ago. He said, I met my wife here. He said, I left. And he said, I couldn't be anywhere else. I had to come back here. And that's what sold me. Anybody with that much passion about the place that they go to work every day, that's where my kids need to be. And needless to say, they have been excellent under his care. I have not one complaint from last year's school year to this year. 100% turnaround. I mean, I didn't really even have any issues so much last year, but you can still see the improvement and the passion is still there. So I can't do anything but say great things about this man, Mr. Hauser, Academy of Warren.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yes. Now, all of my followers, y'all know my favorite sibling is here today.
Oh, my gosh.
Shalisa and Nicole Clay Ebron. So y'all know the history with my sister. She is Jesus' niece. And I'm definitely the opposite. But she is the one who keeps me grounded. She is the one who makes sure. She makes sure that I'm going to get into heaven. She's going to make sure I know them scriptures whether I want to or not. Oh, but I will tell you this. From the time I was a little kid until now, she's been nothing but a blessing to my life. Absolutely. When I say I probably wouldn't have went to college if it wasn't for my sister. I probably would not have started my walk with Christ if it was not for my sister.
Come on to speak.
She is the person who I look up to. She's the person person who I model my decision makings after. Eventually, I probably will be a good mom like her, but for right now, I'm going to stick to being a bad mom. So, Shalisa Ebron is in the building.
Hey, everybody.
I'm so happy you're here, sister.
Yes.
So, for all my followers, let me turn around so y'all can see all these beautiful people here in the studio today. Oh, she looks short.
Facebook
I gotta bring the camera down. She looks short. She still ain't grew none. So, of course, y'all already know how this rocks and how we roll. Please post your comments and your questions here on the Facebook Live feed. We will read your questions. We will read your comments. Don't keep them professional. This is an open book, and we want you to express yourself and definitely add your content. So to get started, and I definitely want to start with you, Mr. Hauser, because I really want to hear your story on how you came to come back to Academy Award and how your experience has been since you've been back.
Okay. So to kind of go backwards, 16 years ago, went into education, started teaching at the Academy of Warren. I was an eighth grade teacher, taught there for a year, left and went and taught on the south side of Chicago. And for anyone that knows, the climate, the culture on the south side of Chicago is one that can be quite rough. But for me, it was a complete eye-opener, which, you know, helped me understand that urban education is where I belong. See, growing up, single-parent household, my dad never around, incarcerated most of my childhood growing up. So never really had that person at a school that I needed. And so figuring out what I wanted to do with my life, going into education just seemed like the perfect fit. I loved being around kids. I'm a kid at heart still, 37. And I act like I'm 12. So this kind of, you know, worked out perfect. So spent some time in Chicago, came back to Academy of Warren to teach one more year, ended up meeting my wife, who is a teacher. God bless her. She's a saint. I don't know how she does this, but she maintains the family. She's helped me so much pursue my passion of helping kids, becoming a leader, helping teachers. And, you know, I know she's listening, and I just want to thank her.
Because, hi, wife.
Because yes. without her, none of this is possible.
Shout out to wife.
It's the rip.
So,
backbone.
So after my third year at Academy of Warren, I left and went to a school in Southfield called Bradford Academy. Spent Bradford Academy. 10 years there, middle school teacher really? For five and a principal for five. And then last year I was working based out of Flint, overseeing a school in Flint, Saginaw, Lansing, Cincinnati, and Phoenix. And I was on the road a lot, flying a lot. I have a beautiful 7-year-old and 4-year-old daughter
they
at home.
Are gorgeous.
And I was missing so much. First days of school, you know, dance recitals. Mm-hmm. And so when the opportunity came to go back to Academy of Warren, it came full circle. Mm-hmm. I get to go back to where I met my wife. I still keep in contact with a lot of the students who are there. And I even have students who are enrolling their children now, just to kind of, you know, put this in the context of how serious this is. And this is personal for me now. We're trying to change the game over there.
You
know, this year we've put a lot of stuff in place. We've brought in some, you know, some really good people who just have the biggest hearts for the children. And so it's going well, but we haven't even tipped the iceberg yet on the things we're going to do at this place. So, that's me in a nutshell. I'm crazy about kids.
That's great.
I love interacting with
Almost
kids.
Definitely.
I connect with kids through a lot. I mean, every Friday I have a brand new pair of shoes on, just trying to connect
crazy
with the kids with the sneakers.
I think I look forward to it too.
today we kind of shocked them, and me and Mr. Kearney broke out some Jordan Concords that just came out last week. But
yes.
I mean, I talk to the kids about hip hop. You know, unfortunately, the hip hop they're listening to now,
it's totally different.
It's totally different. And so,
if you
I mean,
can understand it, it's
yeah,
different.
I don't understand it. You know, they all got face tattoos and different color hair. So it's, but no, I mean, overall, it's been a great experience. I wouldn't trade this for the world. So.
Cool. I'm glad you did. I'm telling you, you're definitely making a difference with my child.
Thank you.
So, Just keep him in your prayers. He has to deal with Madison every day. Y'all, y'all know Madison. You know Madison.
Don't play Maddie like
Andre
that.
Commented. Andre said, fatherhood is awesome. Yes, Dre, you are definitely a super, super dad. He said, who is your sister? I need to get her number.
Plays too much. She is taken.
Okay. She is definitely taken. Okay. So now to my wonderful, wonderful. Okay. Shalisa is, I'm going to let her tell you who she is, because if I say it, I'm going to keep saying how great of a sister she is, but you guys need to understand how wonderful of a educator she is. So I'm going to let her explain to you who she is and exactly what she does.
Okay, so currently I'm working as an instructional coach for Distinctive College Prep Schools in Harper Woods. We are the first campus of many. We've opened our second campus this year in Retford, and we are based out of Chicago. So currently I'm working as an instructional coach. My kids like to say that I teach the teachers. But I definitely go in and provide professional development and modeling and do things like that with the teachers. But I spend every afternoon between the hours of 10:45 and 11:45 with the students for lunch duty every day. So while I'm not in the classroom in a capacity as an instructor, I am definitely still connecting with the students and the parents every day, all day, for that hour of power with the young people.
Okay. Now we got our first Facebook question. David wants to know to you, Mr. Hauser. He says, what is the biggest challenge being a principal?
Oh, God. I think for me, the biggest challenge is trying to help the kids understand that whatever they're going through right now, it does pass. Mm-hmm. It does pass. You know, we have so many students that are dealing with traumatic situations, mm-hmm. and they don't have an outlet for it, or they don't know how to – they go from 0 to 100 at the snap of a finger. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, they just need someone to talk to, someone to validate their feelings and let mm-hmm. them know that, listen, brother, it's going to get better. You know, I like to think that at the Academy of Warren, we're not just enrolling students, but we're enrolling families also. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's a great way to look at it.
We really want to be all hands on deck. You know, a lot of our parents, I've had heart-to-heart conversations with them, and they look at me and say, Mr. Hauser, I don't know what to do. And, you know, we try to provide them with the resources. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be honest. Being a parent is probably one of the toughest jobs in the world. And I'm not sitting here saying that I'm an expert at it, because I make mistakes every day with my own kids.
Welcome to the bad moms club.
My 7-year-old daughter can finesse me out of anything. And, you know, I know it and I admit it, but I'm still there for her to mm-hmm. to comfort her, to, you know. When she has a bad day, sweetie, it's going to be okay. Yeah. And I think as a parent, the best thing you can do for your children is to just be there for them, to let them know everything's going to be okay. This too will pass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely the toughest thing as a principal is really trying to just let the kids know that this passes.
Yeah, I think that's a hard thing. From a parent perspective as well, every parent isn't always equipped for the right answer. Every parent isn't always equipped to teach a child how to get through, like you say, a traumatic situation. Because a lot of times as parents, we don't know how to get through those traumatic situations. We're looking for an outlet. We're looking for someone to talk to ourselves. And there's a very big stigma in the Black community where, you know, you don't go to therapy. Yeah. You don't tell anybody your business. What happens in this house stays in this house.
Right.
And so because of those type of stigmas in our community, it makes it harder for us to teach generation to generation how to deal with things properly. What it does is it creates generational curses. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't know how to properly deal with your anger and your feelings, so now you teach your children how to hide their feelings, or you know their feelings don't matter. Children should be seen and not heard. And as we all know, my kids do what they want. If you come to my house, you better be prepared to be a dance judge. They jump on the furniture, they throw food. It's not ever going. That is their house. That is their sanctuary, and their feelings matter. Now, do I allow my children to be disrespectful? Not at all, because they know how to get you. But
I do allow them to have a voice, and it's very important that they're able to express themselves and be able to say, this makes me sad, this makes me uncomfortable. I had a situation last year where a staff member was asking Madison something that made her uncomfortable, and it wasn't nothing out of the ordinary, but she just felt uncomfortable. She picked up the phone and was like, Mom, I feel uncomfortable. I'm on my way. And I came. And they was like, well, it's great that you have that communication with her, because some parents do not have that communication with their children. They're afraid to tell them, you know, I feel uncomfortable. Yes. Or it doesn't even have to be anything bad. Just, and you know, unable to express themselves.
And you know, when there isn't that communication between a parent and a child, we all know what happens as they get older. Yeah. They hide more and more, and more things. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, we see it, the kids when they go away to college and they're on their own and they don't know what to do.
Excited.
And I think that there has to be an open door policy.
I agree.
Between parents and children. I want to know if my daughter's having a bad day at school.
Yeah.
I want to know if she's feeling, you know, some type of way.
Because like you say, you want to be right there to pick her up.
Absolutely.
Every time.
Absolutely.
And that matters.
For sure.
And the thing is that we want all adults to be like that. I mean, I'm not your daughter's father, but if I see her down in the dumps, I'm going to put my arm around her and pick her up
and say,
sweetie, we got this. Like, you know, and I'm a firm believer in it takes a village, and we got to be hands on deck.
Okay, so we got another Facebook question. AJ says, how do we increase scholar voice within the school environment?
Well, one way we do it at Distinctive is our personalized learning environment, where at the beginning of the school year, and we touch on it like throughout the school year, but beginning of the school year, students fill out, like, let's say, an interest survey. Yeah. Talks about different things, different ways they like to learn, on down to I like the lights to be dim, or I like it to be bright in the room.
That's awesome.
Different ways to learn. You know, I like to do my learning online, or I like it when the teacher does a small group. You know, all of those things where they are able to talk about how they like to learn and not just expect it to sit in this chair. I'm going to get this lecture. You take these notes and you learn this way. When that's not how all scholars learn. So we have tons of things in the classroom, alternative seating, beanbag chairs. There is a futon in the classroom, just alternative places for them to sit, the little lap desk where they can sit on the floor and have their lesson in front of them, or the little round bouncy chairs where they're able to, those that move, you can bounce all you want to, but it's not making all of that noise and things like that. So that's one of the ways where we are able to hear from our scholars and hear how do you like to learn? What do you like to do? What, you know, makes you feel good about school?
That is a wonderful way to interact with students. And then on top of you interacting, you guys are equipping yourselves to equip your students better.
For sure.
So yeah, I definitely agree. Excellent. And I think this is definitely where the parent involvement comes into play. If you're aware of what's happening during your child's day, it makes it a lot easier to parent certain situations at home. I know personally, my children are night and day. Madison is bougie. She is Miss High Class. Everything is nasty, dirty. She doesn't care. Daylin is 7 Mile Belle Isle. She ready for it with a party at. Let's go. You know, so I find myself having to reach further, definitely mentally, to parent them differently, sometimes in the same situation. You know, when I get a phone call home with Daylin, I understand that Daylin has some challenges when it comes to that relates to her. And this is just really a transparent moment. But Daylin definitely struggles with some issues when it comes to how she deals with her anger, how she processes certain things. Yeah. You know, Daylin has a saying, and it's kind of funny, but when you really think about what she's saying, that's the way she feels, because every time something doesn't go her way, she goes, everything is boo to Daylin, boo, boo, boo to Daylin. But in her six-year-old mind, that's the way she sees it. She's like, you know, things are not going my way. Mm-hmm. When I'm not being heard, when I'm not being understood, it's boo to Daylin. So when I hear her say it's boo to Daylin, that automatically kicks in my mind, okay, she's having a Daylin moment. Let me take that moment aside
side and say, okay, how do you feel? What's going on? Right. What is it that you're trying to convey that you can't get out and you felt like beating somebody up was the only way for you to get that point across?
Correct.
But as where it relates to Madison, I could cut Madison's crap a mile away. Mm-hmm. If she's coming at me and she's like, oh, they did this to me and they did that, it ain't boots of Madison. Madison, you know exactly what you did. You know you're fully aware. And that's because I'm fully aware of how Madison's mind works. And again, that goes back to the parent involvement. When teachers call me, even, you know, with you, Mr. Hauser, when you tell me, hey, Madison, you know, she didn't have such a good day, I'm able to decipher, was she having a bad day because it's her feelings, or was Madison just on some BS? Because mm-hmm. most of the time, Madison's on some BS.
And you know, I think the norm is that whenever school calls, your first thought as a parent is, what'd my kid do now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. what'd my kid do now? And what we've really tried to do is try to flip that script. So I'm calling kids when they're doing something good, trying to build that relationship with the parents. So then when we do have to have that difficult conversation,
that relationship's, already,
that relationship's already been built.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, for a lot of our parents, school, a lot of them have had a negative experience when they were in school.
Exactly.
I had a negative experience. My grades were awful, you know, struggling with, you know, going to a private school, but being from a single parent home. So, you know, there was that stigma. Oh, this kid is at a private school with one mom, you know. And so I need to get better at being more involved in my daughter's schooling, but I have reservations because of my experiences. So I think that when we're open and honest about, you know, what we've kind of gone through, that we can really have some dialogue. And I think as parents, we need to get back to where when we were in school, teachers were held to this high standard by the parents.
Absolutely.
I agree. I mean, I think it needs to be by everybody, totally though, starting with the pay on down.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. I think you guys remember that when I was in school, if mom got a phone call, I didn't want to go home that day.
It was no, over.
Exactly.
Was
I didn't want to go home that day. But now sometimes when we make that call, oh, my kid wouldn't do that.
Yes.
You know,
and
mom and dad, I'm being honest with you. I got 100 better things to do than
to make up
stories
about your child.
You know?
And my thing is this, it takes a village to raise a child, but what happens when you cut the village out?
Mm-hmm.
You can't say your child was shortchanged or, you know, any of those things because you are the one who cut that village out. You eliminated that. So now you can't say, you know, what your child did or did not receive because you were the roadblock.
Yep.
You know, I know when I was in school, even though my dad was in my life, my mother was a single mother. Mm-hmm. She caught two buses to take me back and forth to school.
Right.
And I went to the school of choice. Well, I think I got kicked out. I went to the school of choice that I wanted to. I was bad. But, you know, my mom didn't have time for PTO. She didn't have time to, you know, I was the first kid, latchkey, and the last kid to leave. And I was embarrassed. Like, you know, I was, as a kid, I was like, oh, I'm still here. You know, I hear adults talking amongst me, you know, oh, her mama always late, you know. So I felt shameful not realizing my mama was a G.
She was doing what she was supposed to be doing. We lived in the middle.
The school was one way. Her job was the other. She caught the bus to my school, got back on the bus, passed the house, went to work, left work, got on the bus, passed the house to come get me, and then got on the bus and we went home. That was four buses a day in the cold, in the snow. You know what I'm saying? And this was my life. This was realistic. And as a kid, I was just like, oh, you can't never come to nothing. You missed this. You missed that. It's hard when you got to catch four buses. My mother worked at the bank. The bank don't close to 5, and you can't leave until everything is done, put away. You know, so now that I'm an adult, I understand it better. And everybody knows, like, I was in property management for 9 years. I switched over to real estate for like 3 years. And literally, I had to quit my job because, you know, people would forget to get Madison from, you was picking up Madison from school at one point. You know, and at that time, I had one kid and it was hard. So imagine me having three and would still be in those shoes. You know, entrepreneurship, and I tell people this all the time, entrepreneurship was not my first choice. It was what fell into my lap. It was a better choice for my children. And thanks be to God that I've been successful in it. And I've, you know, made a living and made a life for me and my children. Well, with their father, too. He did help. But
it is called the Bad Moms Club.
Yes, it is.
Thanks a lot, Damon. But anyway, but again, though, you know, still, you know, it's a blessing to be able. And I just said this the other day to Madison right in front of Mr. Hauser. You don't understand what it's a blessing to be able to pick your children up from school and take them to school.
Yeah,
and like I told Madison this just now. I was just talking to Madison with Mr. Hauser. I said, Mr. Hauser, do you take your children to school? Do you pick them up? And he was like, I can't. I'm here with your children.
Exactly.
And I wanted Madison to understand that. Like, and Shalisa, you guys, my perfect Christian. Hey, Auntie Princess. Andre is the funniest nephew on the planet, okay? Do not sleep on my nephew. He is a pure comedian. But even still, both of their parents are educators. Both of their parents are, you know, an administration at that. They're the first ones there, the last one to leave. And
correct.
I think that even parents, not just children in the school, I think that parents take that for granted as well. You know, they can't always answer the phone when you want them to. Mm-hmm. Well, why didn't you call me? It's kind of hard to pick up the phone. You got 30 kids in a classroom running left and, you know, left and right. And
all
when they do
around.
Make that effort, I think that it needs to be appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
I got another Facebook question. Andre says, how important is the parent voice within the school environment?
Parent voice, I mean, it's essential. Mm-hmm. It's essential.
Yes.
I mean, I like to think that we have an open door policy that, you know, parents can come in and talk about anything. I mean, you guys know your kids the best.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, and for a lot of our parents, they're doing the best they can.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I'm a firm believer in that. Mm-hmm. And you know what you know. And
right.
and so parents, you got to speak up for your kids. You know, you got to advocate for your children, but you also got to advocate for their education.
Correct.
You got to get them to school on time.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make sure that, you know, we're not picking them up a half hour early because we want to beat traffic. But we got to get them to college. We got to get them those degrees. I want to say that every kid that attends Academy Award under my watch will go to college. I want to be able to say that. Now, college isn't for everyone. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I want them to have that option.
Yeah.
I want them to have that option.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I ask the kids all the time, what's your dreams? What's your goals? You know, and a lot of them, oh, you know, I want to be a basketball player. I want to be a rapper. And I'm trying to get them to understand the odds of this
you
happening.
Actually making it, yeah.
You know, but you got to have a backup plan.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
I mean, the reason I went into education, I'll be honest, I thought I was going to get summers off. I haven't had a summer off in 16 years.
I was going to say side.
Yeah, no, didn't happen. But,
just kidding.
You
summer
know,
off of income.
Yeah, right. The thing is that we don't go into this for the financial compensation because let's be honest, it's not there. We go into it because we truly want to help and touch kids' lives. I mean, I have kids from 16 years ago that I taught that I still keep in contact with.
That's great.
You know, mm-hmm. and – I mean, they come and visit all the time and, you know, they check up on me, you know, I'd like to think I'm still young still, but, you know, checking up on me to make sure I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, last year when I was, you know, working in Flint, the school I was at had 7 or 8 former alumni as teachers. And I mean, what a testament to giving
absolutely.
Back to the community, you know,
mm-hmm,
and
absolutely.
I mean, working that year in Flint was eye opening too. I mean, took so many things for granted. Kids couldn't even go to the drinking fountain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had to get bottled water shipped in every day.
Wow.
And then we expect them to want to learn and to want to be proficient in subjects, but the battles they fight from the moment they get up
mm-hmm.
to the moment they get to school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's bigger than just math and English. We're trying to keep kids alive too.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
It yeah, definitely is important for the parents to speak up. Like all of the parents over the years and being in education are the ones that I remember are not always the ones that didn't give any problems, but it was the ones that gave their opinion, like that had the tough conversations with you. Like, hey, you know what? I really need morning care. You guys don't offer that. Like, that's a challenge for me. I might have to consider someplace else for my child because, and I know that there are other parents that need this service. Like, you want to speak up. You want to say things. Don't just complain about it and have the sidewalk conversations. There's too many sidewalk after school, before school conversations that happen in the parking lot conversations mm-hmm. that should be in the office with the principal, with the secretaries, giving that feedback so that we know what to do. We know what your needs are because that's part of the problem. Like, we don't know what will pull the parents in. We don't know what time to have the program so it's convenient for everybody to come. We want you to come to support your children. We want to make it convenient for you. But if we don't know, then we can't make those adjustments. We can't make the PTO time at a time where we can't have two PTO times if nobody comes. Tell us what time is best for you. Tell us, you know, hey, we had a parent tell us the other day, you know what? The khaki color is not really the best color because they're filthy and I can't, you know, the stains. If we had dark blue, that would do so much better for me. And that's like something that we're considering for next year because.
Talk about them uniforms, Mr. Hauser. $47 for one pair of pants, sweet baby Jesus.
I'm working on it.
So speak up, parents. Get in there. Give your opinion. Even when it's not the popular one or the nice thing to say, like tell it. You are the ones that create change in your school.
Because I'm a parent, and I'm very involved with my children. Mm-hmm. I'm probably one of the ones that just over-speak, over-talk, but mm-hmm. I never not sit down on what I need to say. I always think it's no dumb question. If I feel like it's dumb, I ask it.
Yes.
And I will answer to every administrator. I am one of those parents. I'm a forceful parent. I ride the school bus with my children. They're back. I may get on the deal. I make ways to make sure each and every child of mine, because I have three. Mm-hmm. So each and every child is different. It's mm-hmm. like she was saying. And it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like the communication sometimes break down with the staff and the parent. Like you say, tell mm-hmm. us. Sometimes, you know, if you're trying to get to work and it's a long line of cars out the parking lot, you're mm-hmm. just trying to get out the parking lot and get to work. And mm-hmm. you may not always remember to send that email. Like I know they have the dojo and the mm-hmm. different mm-hmm. things where, you know, some parents are old.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to use a computer. They right. barely know how to work a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think one thing that I really like too, and this goes back to when it was Star. What was the principal's name that was at Star?
Presley.
I love her. Miss Presley, and this is one of the things that really, really impressed me.
Mm-hmm.
She would come out in the morning, rain, sleet, or snow, shake every kid's hand as they were coming in the building. She could remember every kid's name, but she remember every parent name.
Mm-hmm.
When you come into that first hallway, because it's double doors, when you come mm-hmm. in that first hallway, she's every day standing there shaking every kid's hand, and it created a bond between each kid and that principal. Even if they only met that principal one time, they knew they were gonna see that principal every morning mm-hmm. to shake her hand. And mm-hmm. it, and when the child has a bond with that adult, absolutely. Automatically they go home and talk to the parent about, she's so great, she does this, mm-hmm. I liked her sweat. Then it creates the parent's curiosity, well, let me go meet this person and how mm-hmm. great she is. Even if it's just to say, oh, my child loves you, that opens up the door for talking.
Absolutely.
I think if schools had a, it's like they have a teacher's lounge. If mm-hmm. they had a parent resource room,
mm-hmm.
I think that would work as well. Honestly, it's overwhelming standing in the office. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you why. You got other parents coming in. You can't really talk privately. Mm-hmm. The phones are ringing. The secretary is busy. You're mm-hmm. waiting on somebody else to come in. Sometimes they're on walkie-talkie. Sometimes they send a kid to go. It's overwhelming standing in the office. But if they had a room, literally big as a box, that was right there by the door that you could go in, get a cup of coffee, maybe absolutely. Catch your favorite teacher in passing,
mm-hmm.
pick up your flyers. I know that I'm horrible with knowing events that's coming, you know, that's going on, because responsibility of the child is to bring the flyers home. But one thing I love about Academy of Warren is they drive me crazy, but they'll send you a text and then they're gonna follow up with a phone call. They're gonna make sure you know. I'll shoot you the voicemail and listen to it later, but
that's good.
it's coming through for sure.
We like to over communicate.
Oh yeah, most definitely. And you know what? A lot of things that I loved about Star, and I was so hurt when Star closed. A lot of things that I'm seeing with Academy of Warren now, and I am that parent. Like if I don't like it, I don't like it. So for me to see those same qualities, I'm like, yes, we're in that. Because Miss Presley, she was no joke. When I say, you know, if I said the tissue was too hard, it was changed the next day. Like she was on it, and that's one thing that kind of got me about you. You gave me that same warmness, that same, you know, the same way Miss Presley did. Okay, so we got a question. He says, do you think that sometimes the kids take too many standardized tests instead of actually learning?
So I'm going to be a hypocrite for this, but...
Be 100.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Lay
think,
it on the table.
I think they take too many standardized tests.
I agree.
I don't think we are actually teaching our kids to be lifelong learners. Mm-hmm. I think we're teaching them at that moment how to take a test,
yes.
mm-hmm. and then they forget the information. You know, we hope they did well on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think we're at a crossroads, you know, where the state is saying that, you know, you have to take this test, this test, this test. And we're taken away from the creativity of the teachers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, and then, you know, the administration has to, you know, hey guys, we got to do this. This is what has has come down. And, you know, it's tough because we have so many teachers who ultimately get handcuffed because they have to sometimes teach to the test. And, mm-hmm. and I don't think we're doing our kids justice by, you know, operating like this.
I think another consideration just as far as standardized testing goes is what do you do with the information mm-hmm. That you get from the standardized test? If this is a test you take once at the end of the year, you can't do anything with the results, then I say ball it up, throw it away. Like, what do we need it for? What is it for? If it's not like to inform some type of instructional practice, if it's not going to be fresh information in the teacher's hands for them to do something with, then what do we have it for? So I think that's another consideration. Like, if we're taking too many tests, what are we using it for? What is it for? Who is it for?
I get it.
What I don't like about the standardized tests is I feel like the children are based, or should I say labeled and judged off of the actual results of those tests. And that's where my issue lies. And STAR is an excellent example of that. STAR was a excellent school, wonderful school. Just from what I just told you, like about how the principal was, staff was great, including my sister. I mean, it was just like I'd never experienced that with Madison. Well, Madison was in East Point school system before any of that happened until I had to cut up. She got kicked out. So I decided to take her to STAR. It was actually in the middle of the semester. And surprisingly, Madison really adjusted very well. Some of the children that's at my house every day, she met at STAR.
This is true.
When Madison goes skating every Saturday, she runs to her friends from STAR. A lot of the kids that came from Academy of Warren, I was rallying for them to come from STAR over to Academy of Warren. That's how a lot of them came there. It was an excellent school, but what ended up happening was, and correct me if I'm wrong, Shalisa, but there was issues with the test scores, so they said, and they didn't want to continue the funding based off the test scores. But here's the thing. The principal was only there. I think Ms. Prescott had been there two years, maybe
she
three.
She was only a principal, I think, 1 year.
Okay, that was her first 4 years. And the test scores that they were basing their decisions off of was before she had even came, mm-hmm. and there was a 100% turnaround since she had been there. Mm-hmm. She didn't even get a chance to, you know,
sprout.
Yeah, she didn't even get a chance to, for all the things that she had put into the funnel for them to even come out, because they automatically cut the funding. So what they did in turn was 300 children, well, over 300 children had to find a school. Oh, 900 children.
900.
Had to find a school to go to. And mind you, some of these children, take for instance, Rayon and her sisters, mm-hmm. being here since kindergarten, you know, mm-hmm. you're breaking up friendships, you're breaking up mm-hmm. families. You know, these teachers, even, what was Madison's teacher name when she left? Miss Tyler? Miss
Tyus.
Miss Tyus. She was hilarious. She got those kids together. Mm-hmm. They was like, oh, Miss Tyus said this, Miss Tyus. So what? She should have said it, because Miss Tyus did not play. Yeah. She got those kids in line, but they respected her, mm-hmm. you know, and they learned. They truly learned in her classroom. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing now to see, you know, it's almost like, you know, when you move away and the family spreads out, you run into your cousin at skating rink, you run into your cousin at your new school, because all of those children have made such tight bonds at that school. And when that, like you say, when those orders get handed down from administration, they don't understand what it really does to those children on the receiving end. Mm-hmm. 900 children trying to find a new school to go to, you know, you're breaking friendship, years of friendships, and mm-hmm. kids don't adjust as well as adults do.
They don't.
And it's not fair. And I think the test is the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. So my question to you guys, because we're getting ready to wrap things up, is this. And I'm going to start with you first, Mr. Hauser. What do you think is the best way to create parent involvement? If I'm a parent and I'm noticing my child is exhibiting some different behaviors at home, and I work, you know, 9 to 5, 24/7, and I want to be involved, I just don't know how to get involved. I want my child's behavior to change, but I don't know exactly how to approach it at the school. I want to be a part of what's going on. I want to know what's going on, but time does not permit it. What would you tell me?
So I think the first thing is that there's got to be honesty. There's got to be honesty. If, as a parent, if you're struggling with something, you got to be honest with us. You got to tell us what's going on so we can help. I can't tell you how many times I've met with parents. outside of school hours on a weekend, or, you know, let's grab coffee, let's talk, let me connect you with someone else that I might know that can help you. Mm-hmm. But if it doesn't get said, we don't know, cool. You know, and I would like to think that, you know, I'm a pretty good mind reader, but I'm not. You know, we got to have that open dialogue, and we got to be transparent with each other. And, you know, if you're exhibiting or seeing behaviors from your child at home, give us a heads up. You know, I have parents all the time in the morning when I'm out in the parking lot, wrote it on their window, you know, Johnny's having a rough one today. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell the teacher, hey, listen, keep an eye on him. You know, let him check in with me. You know, let's communicate with each other. And I also want the parents to know is that what you guys are going through, every other parent is going through as well. Mm-hmm. You're not alone on this. Right. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
We tell our kids this all the time, but I'm telling the adults this too, is just don't be afraid to ask for help. If you don't understand something, just ask. Mm-hmm. I promise you, I'm not going to judge you. I'm not. I want to help you. And if it's something that I can do, I will. If it's not, I will find someone who can help you.
Okay. Well, y'all know I have to add my tidbit on here before I get to Miss Shalisa. Now, one thing that I do always is keep it 100% real. Y'all know I'm going to tell y'all exactly how I feel. Mr. Hauser, you just said something that really just touched me. Because one thing I don't like is people be fake. And everything that you just said out your mouth was 100% real.
Absolutely.
Daylan is something different. And every morning that I tell you she's having a bad day, you never call me. You deal with it. You deal with her. She'll come home and say, it was a good day. Or I was in the one lady's office. Or I was with Mr. Hauser. Everything you just said was, I love a honest person. When you say you're in that parking lot, rain, sleet, or snow, you standing in that parking lot, sometimes with Jordans on, sometimes with dress shoes.
Today I wore dress shoes. I wouldn't wear the Jordans outside. Didn't want to scuff them up.
You are definitely in those. And I'm just going to take the time to really thank you. Because no, I don't know how much you get thanked. But live on Facebook. This is 100% across the airways. My children are the most important thing to me.
Absolutely.
As much as they drive me crazy, they are mine. Kooky, crazy, flaky, and all. They belong to me. Mm-hmm. And the time that you take with them, the care that you... y'all about to make me cry. The time that you take with them, the care that you put in with them, as a parent, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
The most comforting thing is to be able to drop my children off mm-hmm. with people who are not family and they're still treated like
absolutely.
Family.
Correct.
And what you expect out of your staff and what you teach your staff and what you implement with your staff can't be touched. It can't be matched.
Thank you.
It can't. And I'm just telling you, like, as a parent, I appreciate you. I'm not buying enough Christmas.
No,
but
that's
I thank
good.
You.
That's good. That's good.
I don't got no money, but if I listen, I will. So, on to my Jesus needs Shalisa. Listen. So, my question to you, Miss Ebron, is this: as a parent, and I know that your school goes to the second grade,
fourth.
Shut the front door and close the back. Okay,
up to fourth grade now.
So, my question to you is: from an elementary standpoint, mm-hmm. Elementary children are not always as verbal as the middle schoolers or the high schoolers are. Mm-hmm. You know, with their issues, and I believe that they face different challenges because they're younger and always don't know how to communicate as well as the middle schoolers or the high schoolers. So, as a parent, if I'm not aware of what's going on, if I don't have an avenue between me, my children, and yourself mm-hmm. to say this is what the problem is. I don't know what the problem is. I just know it's a problem. Mm-hmm. How could I advocate that to you? How would you as an administrator tell me the door is open? What are the best ways for me to be involved, you know, saying it without saying it because we're dealing with smaller children?
Mm-hmm. So tons of ways. One way, like the intermediary that can be, is your child's teacher. Like, literally, they're with your child as many hours in the day. I'm in the office, okay? The teacher is in the trenches with your child every day. They can see them coming a while away and like, uh-oh, Today's not a good day for Johnny, and I know why. They can tell the parent all of those little things that happen throughout the day. Like, hey, I noticed they really get upset when they can't figure out this particular math problem. Mm-hmm. Or I notice that when things are getting hard or I'm teaching something challenging in class, they have to go to the bathroom. They have to do this. We need to really work on this. When things get hard, dig in, you know. So I would really tell, especially parents of young partner with your classroom teacher, because they are your first line of defense. They're your advocate. They are your, they will remind your child throughout the day, you do know who your mommy is, right? Mm-hmm. You know, when they need that reminder, you know? Mm-hmm. So, because they know, teachers know, like, you want the best for your child just like I do. You want them to learn just like I do. Like, really get to know that classroom teacher. Send them a little note. Teachers like notes. Like, teachers don't like notes, but they like notes at the same time because they know you care. Mm-hmm. Good, bad, or otherwise, they know, hey, oh, okay, she said last week she didn't get the assignment, so I'm pinning this to you. Now I'm sending you a text, mom, saying, hey, I just dojoed you. Like, hey, it's in their backpack, that extra assignment that you wanted. Partner with your, I was a first grade teacher for many years, mm-hmm. and I partnered with my parents. I did resumes when they didn't have jobs. I let them come and volunteer in my classroom. I partnered because no one could get to that younger child like the parent. They can tell, they'll tell their mom and dad things they won't tell me. And if I'm not partnering with that parent, then I don't know and I'm at a loss. So that is your strongest relationship. You always have the office to come in back up when there's a drop in the line of communication. You can always come in. I would say, again, I haven't met a principal that haven't given out a phone number or an email mm-hmm. or taken a hand note. Sometimes parents write quick notes. Their name is not even on the bottom. You just got to pay attention to who bring it in the office because it's just in there and it's dropped. So-and-so's mom, we don't even know the parent name. So-and-so's mom brought this. We look it up. We find it. Hey, just want to connect with you. We want to. We want a partnership. We want to provide the services that parents need. We want to do all of the things that they want a school to do, plus some. Mm-hmm. So I would say partner with that teacher. Like, that is your first line of defense always.
Okay. Y'all see, my sister's so smart. My parents did a wonderful job. Thanks, Mom and Dad. Do you see your hard-earned money? At Spring Arbor College, was a little wasted, but you definitely got your money's worth with this one. Definitely. See, they don't say the best for last. They had it first.
Oh, my gosh.
So I have one last question, then we're going to wrap stuff up. So all day long, we've been talking about moms, single moms, single moms. What do we do for the dads? For the dad who works 16 hours a day on the road, just, you know, can't be there the way that he wants. Do we have any ideas to open up that line of communication? Not just for the single dad, but for the dad who's concerned and who wants to be in a situation, period.
I think speaking and talking to the dads is like a huge thing. Like, talking to them, like, hey, dad
with donuts.
Like, yeah. Like the little events, dads with donuts and things like that. But like, literally just talking to them when you see them. When mm-hmm. they walk their kids in, like, don't shoo them away. Don't try to tell them what to do. Like, my husband hates that. Like, when you try to tell him what to do, like, he never had kids. Like, these not his kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. he like, no. Like, I can take care of them when their mom is not around. Like, it's okay.
I know what I'm doing.
Right. So, mm-hmm. I think, like, just treating them like an equal partner and not like, oh, you don't know about what they do. I'll wait to tell mom. Like,
yeah,
treating them
you.
As an equal partner, equal, yeah, for sure.
You know,
yeah.
It's funny you mentioned that. My wife went out of town for a weekend, and the list she left me of how to keep our kids alive was, you know, I manage, you know, 600 kids at a school, but give me a survival list for my two daughters. But right. I think from a dad's perspective, I think that we want to feel just as valued
as mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And for the dads that, you know, are working crazy hours, you know, set time aside, 10 minutes. I had a parent last year who was on the road all the time. The teacher promised to call him every Friday just to kind of give him an update on how their child was doing during the week.
Nice.
And I think that, I mean, listen, I'm not one to say, hey, you know, don't go to work today so you can talk to me on the phone,
right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
We got to adjust to the parent's schedule,
too,
sometimes.
They got to take responsibility, too.
Absolutely, you know? And so I think just, you know, communicating with the father like we would the mother mm-hmm. is essential. Yeah.
Yeah. What about something similar to like a support group or like PTO just for dads? Mm-hmm. You know, group chats, group me, whatever, you know, mm-hmm. just for if you want to be added to Academy Awards dad group, you know, mm-hmm. we're having dad with donuts, you know, we're having construction, whatever, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. just to keep dads in the loop.
Because how powerful... I mean, a lot of our kids, let's just be honest, they don't have that male figure mm-hmm. in their life. Mm-hmm. And I mean, growing up, we had people in the neighborhood who kept us in check, you know? Mm-hmm. And
for sure.
How great would that be if we had that in schools mm-hmm. where...
I think it invites the dads back, you know, in.
Johnny's, yeah. Johnny's dad is everyone's dad mm-hmm. because he's just so warm and bubbly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's there for the kids. And we got to make the schools, not just Academy, every school. We got to make the schools more... Sure. Welcoming and more inviting.
I think we kick the dads out. Everything is centered around the single mom. Mm-hmm. Everything is sent. For Mother's Day, there's Any flowers, moms. There's balloons. Father's Day, it's like, oh yeah, Father's Day Sunday. Yeah, don't forget. You know, mm-hmm. and I think once you eliminate someone's position, then you don't have a choice but to fill those spots. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I think that not just with the parent involvement, I think the father involvement is, if not just as important, even more important, because that's the pillar of our community. Not mm-hmm. just black fathers, all fathers. All fathers. You know, even if there's not a two-parent household, mm-hmm. that father still needs to be involved. And it doesn't have to be a dad. It could be an uncle.
Yes.
It could be a favorite cousin. It could be a big brother. You
Grandfather.
Know? I always had, especially my dad's side, I have excellent male figures on my father's side. Yes. My mother doesn't have any brothers, but my dad, you know, all of his first cousins, mm-hmm. You know, they all were always involved. And I know there's somebody who would have loved to have been in a group chat or group text and say, hey, spring concert is Friday. Mm-hmm. Hey, the winter concert is Friday. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, we're going to do dad with donuts. Hey, you know, your kid had a good day. Hey, I ran past, you know, Johnny in the hallway. He's having a bad day. Gave him a pat on the butt. He's all right. You know, mm-hmm. and how great would it be if your child's cutting up and another dad stepped in? Boom, they go to village.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, if that child's mm-hmm. dad is not there, and my best friend's dad is coming and I'm scared, we won't have to battle.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
We won't have to battle. So I have something important to tell Mr. Hauser and Miss Ebron. Davin is 2 years old.
Oh, happy birthday.
No, y'all got 3 years.
Yes.
And he's on his way.
I'm waiting for him.
He is Daylen Jr.
That's all right. I love them all.
He is Daylen. His birthday is coming up, so be prepared for that, too. We're going to take over Academy Award, okay?
Oh, Lord.
His birthday is coming. Now, we did this with Daylen. Madison went to school. I kept telling y'all Daylen was coming. I didn't disappoint, did I?
I'll be there still. Don't worry.
I definitely want to thank my special guests for coming today. I really, truly appreciate y'all coming. Both of y'all are really near and dear to my heart. Y'all weren't just random people I asked to come. I love, love, love y'all 100%.
And I enjoyed you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Tanisha, you know I love you.
You know I love you, too.
Tanisha, you know I love you and nothing you can do about it.
I love you back.
I want to thank everybody for all your questions, comments, likes, and shares. Y'all are so, so bomb. I'm just a bad mom. And I'm just here to talk about it. Thank y'all for tuning in, and y'all have a great evening.
Tune in next week, Thursday at 7. Bad moms.